Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
All right, let's sing on the first pole. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way, telling the world that Jesus saves the day. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clear for I'm listen to the call, the gospel call today. Get in the glory land way. Wonders come home, oh, hasten to obey. Get in the glory land way. Amen. Aren't you glad to be back here at Sunday night service? Amen. Amen. Amen.
I tell you what just happened to me. I wrote down some things on this little piece of yellow paper so I wouldn't forget to mention it to you. And so I sat down and I couldn't find my yellow piece of paper. I was looking everywhere in my pockets and I thought, well, I was back here in this office just a few minutes ago. Maybe I left it back there. And so I went back there to look, and it wasn't there. And I came out, and I looked down, and I saw something yellow sticking out from under the bottom of my shoe. So I sat down next to Miss Glenda and found my note. So let me tell you what's on the note. I did want to say it's good that Tyler's back with us tonight. I appreciate him being here. Appreciate you all being here. I went by and saw Miss Pat Davis yesterday. Folks, we need to pray for her. She doesn't look well. She went to the hospital and had a surgical procedure done, and her oxygen bottomed out. And my understanding is she almost didn't pull through. And so as of right now, her oxygen level is roughly 30%. Hospice has been called in. So we need to pray for her. And I forgot to mention that this morning, and I apologize. But I do want to say something to encourage you. My phone rang a few minutes ago. You wonder if you're helping people sometimes. And you feel like you fall short. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like I failed. That miserably failed. And so many times we work for nothing. I'm not talking monetarily. I'm talking about nothing seems to happen. We work, and for the Lord, and it just doesn't seem to pay off. I want to share this with you. My phone rang, and y'all know Mom and Dad couldn't be here today, couldn't be here for the last couple weeks. Dad has a horrible, horrible case of shingles. And to just tell you how bad it is, it just wouldn't be in good taste. But my phone rang, and it was somebody on the other line, and I couldn't understand who they were. Couldn't understand them. So it was Dad. It was Dad. I said, Dad, let me call you back. So I hung up. I called him back, He was still crying. I couldn't hardly understand him. And he was shouting and carrying on, screaming, God is so good. God is so good. I said, well, Dad, I know he's good. That's great, wonderful, you know. And I'm just, he said, oh, you don't understand. He said, your mom and I, we sat down and watched the Sunday morning service, last Sunday morning service. And he said it was good, and I was crying, and your mama was crying. And she, he said, you know how reserved your mama is. She never raises her hand or shouts. She said, and then Sunday night, we started watching that, and the service was good, and it was so great. And he said, Alton, the Holy Spirit moved into our living room like I have never seen him move before. And I understand he's crying. He said, and then Brother Dave stood up and started singing, Look for Me. Folks, he started weeping even more profusely. He said, your mama was raising her hands and shouting and praising God. He said, oh, God moved in like he'd never moved into this living room before. I just want to tell you, God was using you. About 5:30-ish, God was using you in a little house over on 8 Bridgewater Lane for, I know, a couple that's having difficulty in a lot of different areas in their lives. They're beaten up in so many ways, coming to the end of their ministry and how God has used them for decades. And yet, Westside Baptist Church never feel like we're not doing anything for the Lord. You say, was that it? We only helped 2 people? You just don't know how many people I bump into and visit that say, hey, I've been watching your services on YouTube. I mean, people, you just, hey, I know, I've seen you on YouTube. I've been watching Westside on YouTube. You just don't know. So when you're singing choir, yes, you're singing to those that are here. But there's an untold number that's watching us. Hey, they're not just watching your worship, but they're watching your faithfulness or the lack thereof. Boy, I tell you, we've got a huge responsibility just to be where we should be. Praise God that he's using us at Westside Baptist Church even when we're not aware of it. Brother Dave, I don't want to do this to you again, but before we, would you mind singing that song again, Look for Me? I tell you, that phone call did something for me. Not because it was my dad, but because it caused me to reflect over so many that have told me, hey, I'm watching Westside Baptist Church online. So many that are hurting. So many that need encouragement. And they could go anywhere else. Think about this. They could go anywhere else on the internet, and they go to Westside, and they believe that they're going to get something when they turn on the TV set. Folks, that is, in my opinion, that is the compliment of compliments. And I want to tell you, I appreciate you and love you. It is not, go ahead and get ready, it's not always easy to be where you're supposed to be. It's not. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. But I just think about that. What if Brother Dave hadn't have been here Sunday night? Oh, somebody else would have sung and we would have gotten through the service. But God, in this instance, really used Brother Dave to grab a hold in this case, my mom and dad. I tell you, next time it could be you that God uses. And the only thing you have to be is here. That's pretty easy stuff. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, somebody else, you know, Miss Pauline was here this morning. Wasn't that wonderful that Miss Pauline was here? Brother Truett went out and bought, I think it's about a 70-inch flat screen. And so, man, they're seeing Westside Baptist Church on this great big flat screen. And he constantly is telling me what a blessing it is to he and Miss Pauline when they cannot be here. I'm telling you, God is using Westside Baptist Church. I think about that little one that bowed her head Wednesday night and asked Jesus to come into her heart. I got to tell you, when I left church Wednesday night, I was so depressed. It was Brother Joe's message that did it to me. I tell you, I was so depressed. You guys had a good time back there and a good attendance back there, and the teens went, the Dairy Queen, man, everybody had a good time. But our attendance up here was off. And man, I left depressed. And then my phone rang. No, I lied. My wife was with me. She's not with me today. She wasn't ready on time, so I left her. I'm like, but she said, Courtney led a little girl to the Lord tonight. I tell you what, that turned things around for me. That it didn't matter how many were up here. It just mattered that we had somebody get saved. That God continues to use this church. Folks, that's what this VIP thing is all about. It's not about numbers. It's not about making you a better Christian. It is about perpetuating the gospel. It's about expanding our scope. And that's what I like to see. I just want to share that with you. You do with it what you'd like. Brother Dave, if you don't mind, sing that song, please.
One thing right before we runs the track and mentioning that, and it's good that we are able to put those services out there for the folks that may not come into church. And I don't know how this man's life ended up. But Gandy Glover was mayor here at one time, and Gandy was not known for much to do with church. It was for his drinking and some other things that had gone on in his life, and he ended up at the end of his life, he took his life. But he came to me one Wednesday. I was out in open house. He's always done real estate. We were working an open house, and he came in, and he'd walked all around, and he looked up at me, spoke to me a couple of times, and before he left, he came to me, and he said, "Dave, I just want to tell you something." He said, "I watch your daddy preach on TV every week without fail." And he turned and walked out the door. Now, he ended up taking his life, but I have to hope that in one of those times, we'd sat around many times through the years, and Daddy said, "I think I'm just going to drop the broadcast. Doesn't seem to be doing anything. And, you know, it's not really, you know, can't tell what's going on. Just because we can't see it, folks. There's no telling when we get to heaven the lives that are going to be there that might not have been there if we hadn't put those efforts out into the community the way that we've done for them to see." And I hope to see Gandy Glover one day didn't live a good life as far as Christianity all his life, but I have to hope there at the end, watching Daddy preach every week, that he bowed his head and asked the Lord to save him. When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenues, as you behold all its beauty and its splendor, remember there's just one request I make of you. Look for me, for I will be there too. I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two, look for me, for I will be there too. As you go down your list of first, well, there's no question, you'll want to see your loved ones that are waiting there for you. But when you feel you've shared your story with the last one that wants to hear you tell just how you made it through, look for me, because I'd like to hear it too. I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view. And after you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two, look for me, for I will be there too. Oh, look for me, for I will be there too. I will be there too. The words, and I think it'll fit our service here tonight. The title of the song is "Jesus is Precious." Listen to the words of this song.
Jesus.
Is he precious to you tonight? I mean really precious. I don't mean just, I mean really. Is he precious to you tonight? I tell you, I praise his name. It's been a while since we've done Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And we came in choir practice and we were looking at different music for the Jubilee. And this song got mentioned. And we had run over some other things, so we decided we'd get it out, and we sung over it, and we said, you know, we might just do that tonight. I love the song Amazing Grace, my all-time favorite. I love every way I've ever heard it sung, but the addition of My Chains Are Gone, when you really think about that Amazing Grace, the writer of the song was a captain of a slave ship. During slavery times, I mean, they go over and haul him back, and he'd captain that ship. And through the Lord saving him, he wrote the words to Amazing Grace. How how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I cannot imagine. Heard a lot of testimonies through the years of folks that talk about what their past was. Boy, I was the worst drunk, and I was this, and I beat my wife, and I did drugs. And I've heard testimonies of folks, and then the Lord saved me. The captain of a slave ship that sold human beings, and write the words, "Amazing grace." It makes you appreciate and understand, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has pardoned me. Choir sing.
Taught my heart to fear and chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Unending love, amazing grace.
Praise the Lord. I tell you what, this morning I was listening to a song that was performed. I don't know when it was written, but back when First Baptist in Atlanta were doing the Passion Play, and the song, the lyrics, the line that caught my attention this morning like it has in the past, says, "Beautiful is how mercy found me." Mercy looked through the sun, S-O-N, and found me beautiful. Isn't that wonderful? Only our God could do such a wonderful thing to find dirty, rotten sinners like us on any level, beautiful or redeemable. But yet He did. Amen. Well, guess what? Tonight we have a special treat for you. Brother Stephen, you come on and preach what the Lord has for us, please. Amen.
Only 15 minutes, right, Dave?
No.
16 minutes, okay. Well, it's a privilege to be here tonight. I'm going to preach from this side because nobody sits on that side, especially on Sunday nights. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, as I start to preach, I usually like to start with a funny story or a joke. But I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like that the Spirit of the Lord's leading in a different direction tonight. What we were doing just a minute ago, singing that song, is so powerful that I want to tap into the majesty of God. And I want to tap into what God is already doing in our midst tonight and reflecting on the fact that God is good. And so it's funny, we didn't talk about what songs were going to be sung tonight. We didn't talk about that when I was preparing my sermon, but you can throw it up on the screen. The title of my sermon tonight is Marked by Majesty, and it's coming out of the book of Psalms, chapter 139. It's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and here's the point. Here's the thesis before we even get going. God made you, and He made you perfect, and He doesn't make mistakes when He made you. And no matter what it is that you may think you're going through, I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that God does not make mistakes, and you are made in God's image. And it is a privilege to be able to open God's Word and to read it and to see that God has made you special. And so here's the purpose of tonight. I want to encourage you. I just want to take a few minutes. I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. And here's what I want to do. I want to open God's Word, and I want to encourage you with what God says about you and what God says is important when it comes to recognizing and looking at your own life. So would you join me in prayer? Father God, Lord Jesus, thank You for today. Lord, thank You for the time that we have to be in Your house. God, what a privilege it is to be able to open Your Word and to read it. God, we could be anywhere right now, but we are in Your house and You are here. And we are so thankful for the opportunity, God. Thank You for sending Jesus to the cross so we didn't have to go there. God, we are so unworthy of the gift of salvation, but we're so grateful for it. Lord, thank You for today. Lord, speak through me. Lord, help it not to be my words, but instead Yours. For it's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. And you can see on the screen, and I'm going to use a PowerPoint. I don't know how often we do this, but you know, we're going to give it a try with our new screen. Is that okay, Brother Alton? So open up to Psalm 139. We're going to read a couple of verses, starting in verse 13 here in a minute. And I know you can't see that on the screen very well, so I'll read it out of the Bible here in just a minute. But let me go ahead and give you some background, some introduction to what we're doing here tonight. Look at, if you think of the book of Psalms, it's really a powerful book in the Old Testament. We believe that David wrote most of the Psalms. And if you look at the life of David, there was a time in David's life where he was really broken. He was one broken man. You look at the affair that he had with Bathsheba. You look at the quarrels that he had throughout his life and throughout his kingdom. And then you remember that David came before God and he said, God, save me. And God, I want to be your servant. I want to be powerful. I want you to use me in a mighty way. And so God used David to write these Psalms to give us as Christians today an encouragement about what it means to live our lives for God. And so as we look through this passage and we look at these words that are written by a broken, broken man who God redeemed to be powerful, a powerful vessel to use to further his kingdom. And so here's my encouragement as we read these verses. Just like David was broken, we're broken too. And just like David was redeemable, so are we redeemable. And so oftentimes when we open the Bible and we read it, we don't necessarily relate what we read in these verses to the fact that a man wrote this, that God ordained these words to be written by a man to express spiritual truth to us. This was written by a broken man who needed God. And you know what? Just like David can write about God's majesty and recognize it in the midst of his broken life, you and I can recognize it tonight too. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the fact that God, when he made you, he marked you with majesty. That the very being of yourself is the very nature of God. That you, being created in God's image, as Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, is the way that God expresses his majesty to creation, because he made you. And he made you just like he wants you. And so before we get going, I want to talk for just a minute about the way that the world views life versus the way that God views life. If you think about today's society, think about how life is devalued. You know, you can turn on the television and it doesn't take long for you to see a commercial of where some commercial is saying you have to do this thing in order to live a good life. Maybe you have to go and buy this product so that you can strengthen your muscles so that ultimately you can live what the world says is a good life. Maybe you need to go and get this surgery to remove these veins from your legs. You know, better legs, better life. You know, we see stuff all the time on television that says, if you will just do this, then I promise you, you will have a better life. If you will just eat this food or not eat this food, then your life is going to be better. And you know what that is? That is a lost and dying world without a purpose, crying out for anything to say, I'm looking for something that only God can fill. There's a God-sized hole inside every single one of us that can't be filled with anything but Jesus. And so when that commercial comes on TV and it says all you have to do is eat this way, what the world is really saying is, we don't know what gives you a good life, but I'm just going to try to give you something. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is the fact that God came, that Jesus came to bring about life and more abundantly. And you know how we're going to see that? By the way he made us. And the very majesty of our being, or the very majesty of God's being, is seen through our creation. That's what I meant to say. And so when you look at the television set or you look on the internet and you see these commercials, it's a lost world crying out for hope. Well, guess what, church? We know the answer. We have the hope in Jesus Christ. And so no matter what the world says is important, no matter what the world says you need to do in order to live your life to the fullest, the Bible says, no, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is the only thing that it takes in order for you to live a full life. And so as we look at these things and as we live our life in this way and we're surrounded by society that says, you need to do this, you need to be this way, what we so often do, even as believers, is we start to believe it. And we start to gauge our life and our success by what the world says is success and by what the world says is important. And so we look and we say, if we don't drive the nicest car, then we're really not living the best life. Or maybe if we don't have the nicest house, then we're really not living up to what we could. We're not living up to our fullest potential. And so what we do is we get so focused on materialism that we forget about the majesty that's written inside this book. The majesty of God that says, look, the most important thing is not what the world says, but it's just the fact that I love you and I want a relationship with you. And so in this passage, we get to open God's word and we get to see from the very point of conception how God marked you with majesty. From the very point that he knit you together in your mother's womb, his hand was all over you. And that's what we're going to see tonight. And we are going to look at it, and we are going to be in awe of God's creation. Because you know what? The world says that things are important. God says Jesus is important. The world says you need to do something. God says you need to be somebody. And so there's a difference in what the world says is necessary and important to living the fullest life and what God says. And my guess is that there's somebody sitting in this room tonight who just needs a minute of encouragement. Maybe you walked into this place and you were broken tonight. You know, you can put on a good face. You can put on a good front. But maybe it's been a while since you felt the presence of God in your life. Maybe you woke up and you looked in the mirror. And when you looked in the mirror, you were so disgusted by what you saw because you're believing the lies of the world. And you are not focusing on the fact that God created you in his image. And so I want to take a moment tonight and I want to encourage you. And I want to encourage you with the fact that God doesn't make mistakes. When mistakes happen, it's us as fallen human beings. But it's not God. And it's not the fact that God made you bad. We live in a fallen world and we sin. But you know what? God sent Jesus for salvation. And so listen, when you come into this place and you put on a smile on your face, but you are really walking in here as a broken man or a broken woman who just needs the encouragement that God loves you, that's what I want to give you tonight. So let's read this passage. We're going to read it all together, and then we'll break it down piece by piece. I've got 3 points. We'll talk about them. So, Psalm 139, starting in verse 13, here's what it says. The word of the Lord says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." At the very beginning of this passage, back in verse 13, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins." Let's stop right there. Let's put on the brakes. That's an incredible analogy. Does anybody ride horses or has ever seen somebody ride horses? When I hear that passage, here's what I think. I think of a horse with somebody on top of it holding on to those reins. And here's basically what I see David saying. Look, God's guiding you. God's got you. He created you for a reason. He doesn't make mistakes. And when you want to go one way or when you want to go another way or when you start to believe something, God never let go of those reins. When God formed you in your mother's womb, he promised you he was never going to let you go. And so he's going to hold those reins no matter what it is that you experience in this world, and he's never going to let them go. And so from verse 13, we can see God created you with a purpose. There's the first P. God created you with a purpose. So if you're writing notes, you can take a pen, pencil, lipstick, or mascara. It doesn't matter. But write down this, God made you with a purpose. And you can see it right there. That's the first part of verse 13. The second part, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. As you know, Amanda and I just gave birth to Hannah just 2 months ago today, actually. Well, I didn't give birth. Amanda gave birth. Whew, it's getting hot in here. But listen, we got to welcome into this world a precious creation. And I'll tell you that in that moment when we saw Hannah for the first time, the love and the majesty of God was so real, because I realized that it wasn't when Hannah was in our arms for the first time that God met her for the first time. That God knit her together in Amanda's womb. God put her together to be exactly who she wanted, or who He wanted her to be, from the moment she was conceived. And Hannah's purpose was in God's mind from that very moment of conception. And I believe that this passage says, listen, from that moment God had your reins. From that very moment He knit you together. He covered you in your mother's womb. And I believe that God is trying to say, listen, you have a purpose. You have a purpose here on this planet. And your purpose is able to be fulfilled if you will just listen to me. And so in verse 13, God says, through David in the book of Psalms, listen, friend, Christian, non-Christian, you have a purpose. Your purpose is to follow me. Listen, you may say, preacher, I can hear that and I know I have a purpose, but I don't know what it is. Maybe I feel like I want to do something more, but I don't know what my purpose is. I've lived my life in such a way that I've really kind of been floundering around and I haven't been living for my purpose. Let me tell you this real quick and we'll move on. There are no stains on the pages of tomorrow. You can't change what happened yesterday, friend. But you know what? As long as you're still here, God's not done. And so there's no stains on tomorrow's pages. That hadn't been written yet. You want to start to understand what God wants you to do with your life? You can start tonight. And you can start to realize what that purpose is by tapping into the power and majesty of God. And by opening His Word and reading it and gaining truth from it. That's how you can determine your purpose. Let's keep reading in the next couple of verses, verse 14 and verse 15. Verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And here's the next thing. God made us with a promise. He said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what that promise is? That God wasn't on vacation when you were put together. God wasn't on vacation when you came to earth. He didn't have some angel create you because He was too busy dealing with Billy Graham or somebody else. You know what? When you were created, God put you together in your mother's womb. Marvelous are His works. He promises you that He doesn't make mistakes. And He promises you that He created you with a purpose. And the promise is that He wants you to fulfill that purpose. And the promise is that He didn't make a mistake. And He wants you to know that He sent Jesus to the cross because you're worth it. You are worth it. And if you were the only person on this planet, Jesus would have still died and risen again 3 days later. What an incredible promise to the majesty of God through your creation. So God didn't only make you and make you with a purpose, He provided us with a promise. Well, let's read the last couple of verses here, and we'll see the last point. Verse 16 and 17 says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Here's the last point. God made us with a plan. God made you with a plan. So when it says that all your members were written, God knows the plan that He wants you to follow to fulfill your purpose. God made you with a plan. He ingrained inside of you a plan to get you from where you are to where He wants you to be, to ultimately fulfill your calling and your purpose. So He promises you in the middle. He promises you that He made you how He wants you. He doesn't make mistakes. He made you with a plan, a promise, and a purpose. And that plan can get you to your purpose. Do you understand? God makes it very clear here in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, that you are marked by majesty. Listen, you are a miracle. You just simply sitting here tonight, you're a miracle. You are a miracle of God in your very creation. Let me take just a minute. I don't think you understand the miracle that you as a human being are. And so I'm going to give you a little biology lesson as I fall down the steps. Listen. Smooth, right? Here's the miracle. Let's start back at the very beginning and stick with me for just a minute. We know that one cell from mom met one cell from dad, and that's how you began. So in that very moment when those two cells joined together, you were created. You were one cell. But you know what happened? Inside that one cell, the very DNA structure that was going to create your entire creation was put together in that one cell. There are four different nucleotides, four DNA structures that were written out in the language of God in cell number one. There are 3 billion characteristics of DNA that write in the language of God who you are. 3 billion characteristics, characters of DNA. And so in one little cell, if you were to take, scientists say, the DNA that is in one cell that you couldn't even see really with the microscope unless you got extremely magnified and you stretched it out, it would be 6 feet long. That is a 6-foot-long, 3 billion character description of you written in the language of God. And then when that one cell had that final product, that final description written, then it set out to do the unthinkable, to build that model. From one cell, you were created. Now we have 75 trillion cells with that same 6-foot-long, 3 billion character DNA structure inside of you. And when I just told you that, 50,000 cells died and 50,000 more cells were created every 3 seconds. You wonder why you're so tired all the time. You're working hard. 50,000 cells died. 50,000 more cells were created in 3 seconds. And it's written all in the language of God. And listen, there's another miracle that took place in the womb. At about 5 months old, the miracle of sight took place. Let me tell you what took place in the miracle of sight. So at about 5 months, 1 million optic nerve endings left your brain, and another 1 million optic nerve endings left your eye, and they had to meet together in perfect harmony. And in that very moment, when all 1 million optic nerve endings met together, in that very moment, you had sight. Scientists will say to this day that the most technologically advanced phenomenon in our universe is the human eye, created by God Almighty. Well, you know what? That's all great, but in that very moment, you couldn't see anything because you didn't have eyelids. And so here's the crazy thing. At about the 6th month, once that sight has been formed, here's what some textbooks say. Miraculously and mysteriously, a small cutting device came and it cut perfectly both sides, and in that moment you had eyelids for the first time inside your mother's womb. We're miracles, you and me. We're miracles. You wonder if you were created by the creator of the universe? You wonder if you have a purpose? You wonder if God cares about you? Look at that 3 billion character DNA structure in every cell. Look at the miracle of your eye. And you know that that is only created by the power and the majesty of an almighty God. I'm going to tell you about one more thing. And I heard this a while back. And it's kind of the left hook. It's the big whammy to knowing that God created us and knit us together. It is a protein molecule in our bodies called laminin. Has anybody ever heard of laminin? You have. Well, guess what? Most of you haven't, because I'm getting the blank stares and the big eyeballs. Well, maybe I need to tell you about laminin. Maybe you don't even know how to spell laminin. Well, that's fine. Well, guess what? Inside the human body, there are protein molecules. And these proteins, their job is to tell the cells what their job is. Well, and this laminin, this protein molecule, its job is a cell adhesion molecule. So basically what it is this laminin molecule, or this protein molecule, its job is to hold your body together. It's like the rebar of the human body. It's what holds your membranes together. It holds everything together. It's laminin. It's a protein adhesion molecule. And you want to know what it looks like? Put it up on the screen. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. You want to know what the thing inside your body is that holds you together? It's written in the perfect shape of the cross of Jesus Christ. Is that not an incredible testimony to the fact that God holds you together? Listen, in the book of Colossians, here's what it says. It says, and through him, and I'm paraphrasing, and by him, all things hold together. And inside your human body, not only is there a 3 billion character DNA structure, not only is there the miracle of sight, but there's laminin, and it's the protein adhesion molecule that holds you together, and it's in the perfect shape of the cross of Christ. God is good all the time. And listen, as you are sitting here tonight, friend, and we're done, I want you to remember God made you with a purpose. He made you with a promise. He made you with a plan. And if you wonder, is God really real in my life? You know what? All you have to do is look inside. Augustine said it best. He said, men and women will travel afar and abroad to marvel at the heights of mountains, to look at the waves of the sea, to watch the rushing rivers in all continents, and pass by himself the greatest miracle of all. So you want to see the power and the majesty of God? Look at you. And look at what God has done in your life. Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the time that we have to be in your house. God, you are a good God. Thank you so much for making us in such a way, Lord, that you have made us with a purpose, a promise, and a plan. God, it is incredible to see your handiwork in each and every one of us. God, if we ever forget that you care, help us to look in the mirror and realize you don't make mistakes. We love you, God, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to move into a time of invitation. Musicians are going to play. Let's stand together. As we move into this time of invitation, I want to encourage you and I want to invite you. Maybe you came into this place tonight and maybe you just felt broken. Maybe you felt like that you didn't know really why you were here and you just needed an encouragement from the Word of God. Well, friend, guess what? God doesn't make mistakes. He made you in His image. Maybe you stepped into this place tonight and you didn't know Jesus. Maybe it was not until you heard that only a God could have done this that you realized the need for a Savior. If that's you, we invite you in a moment to step out and come. If the altar is open, our pastors are here. If you just need to do business with God, we invite you to be a part of what God's doing.
Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his last blood shed for me? Why did he suffer like no man has ever done? This is the only reason I am that one. Yes, he loves me. He loves me. Jesus, he loves me. Yes, he loves me. He loves me. Jesus, he loves. He loves me. When I am sad, he loves me. When I have been bad, my God, he still loves me. And when it seems no one else ever cared for me, I can go and talk to Jesus because he's the one that loves me. He loves me. Yeah. He loves me. Jesus, he loves me. Yes, he loves me. Jesus, he loves, he really loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus, he really loves, he loves me. I'm so glad that he loves me. Sing it with me. He loves me. It's easy, sing it. He loves me. Jesus, he loves me. Yes, he loves me. He loves me. Jesus, he loves. He loves me.
Forgive my grammar, but ain't God good? You sure all hearts are clear tonight? I sure feel the presence of the Lord here. Brother William, I want to ask you to sing another verse of that song. I think God might be dealing with someone. I don't know. I asked the Lord today to let somebody be saved. Maybe you don't know the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. This morning, people came to the altar. You saw who they were, laying burdens down. Tonight, people came to the altar seeking God, seeking direction, and laying burdens down. You saw who they were. Would you pray for them throughout the week? Brother Will, go ahead and sing another verse of that, please.
Why did he go to Calvary? And why was his last blood shed for me? Why did he suffer like no man?
Let's pray.
Has ever done. There's only one reason. I am that one.
Hey, sing it. Praise
now.
The Lord.
He loves me.
Sing it.
He loves me. Jesus loves me, yes, he loves me, he loves me, Jesus, he loves me.
Sing it again. Sing it.
He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. Sing it. He loves me. He
praise the Lord. You think the Lord was here tonight, maybe? It's always good to be in the house of God.